This time, I swear on your children that I am gonna get you. And I will get everybody that conspired against me, every single one of your associates, everybody who profited from it, everybody who had knowledge of it, anybody who enjoyed it, your friends, your clients, your family, anybody in between the time I get my hands on you and now that steps in between you and I and opens their eyes at me, I will get my hands on and I will rip apart and I will hurt. You want the truth? The truth is you don't have a future because I'm gonna burn down everything around you until you're the last man standing, and I'm gonna keep you alive just long enough to look you in the eye and hurt you worst of all. So tell me, you son of a bitch, am I lying?
Superstars can't generate the type of emotion among our fans that these two men.
Really?
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
The best there is.
Hey, yo.
The best there was.
I may have got knocked stupid, but I think there's still some people cheering out there.
And the best there ever will be.
Your source for news.
When I look around that locker room, the only true challenge I have left is ending the streak.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Now think about that. I slapped Vince McMahon in the face.
Oh my God, the Undertaker going to the top of the cage.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
The Bollywood boys, we don't take the SkyTrain.
Now.
I was handed nothing. I busted my ass and I sacrificed for this business.
Here's James McDonald.
And you need to learn to worship the ground I walk on.
Really?
And Corey Callahan.
I'm the host of it and you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
My microphone constantly cuts out.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I'll stop you right there. I'm already sick of hearing you talk. You egomaniac.
It's time.
It's July 17th, 2013. Mr. Money in the Banks have been crowned, and we're on the road to SummerSlam. This is Smack Talk Radio Live. My name is Corey Callahan, sitting next to Dennis Rodman's stunt double, James McDonald.
I assume you're referring to the Chicago Bulls jersey that I'm wearing.
That is a vintage Bulls jersey.
I gotta wear this thing, man, because it is so damn hot outside the Smack Talk studios here in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. And Corey, big show tonight. We are talking to a huge name in the Canadian independent wrestling scene, someone who has been literally to all four corners of this beautiful country we call Canada for professional wrestling. Tell them what we got lined up.
We're talking with author, professional wrestler, and just a man that has helped independent wrestling across Canada. We're talking to Mr. Beefy Goodness, Vance Nevada.
Excellent. I'm excited.
Just that name, Mr. Beefy Goodness.
Great name.
So good. It's so... Now, I'm not going to say it's so bad that it's good, because... Regardless, some interesting news coming out of the Canadian independent scene this last couple weeks, and that is the CNWA, the Canadian National Wrestling Alliance, is apparently closing its doors.
What?
Why? I mean, it seemed to be doing so well. I really love the idea. I mean, we were just talking with Bret Hart about it last week.
No kidding.
And the man behind this all is Vance Nevada, so no better person to talk to about what's going on.
Let's get the scoop tonight.
Maybe we'll throw a little controversy in the mix while we're at it.
Never hurts, never hurts.
Now to find this show where we're going to talk all about it tonight, you gotta log on to www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Like our page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. If you have an iPhone or an Android and you want to listen to us there, you can stream it. Just type in Smack Talk Radio Live at stitcher.com. And we're also on Twitter at SRL Radio. Now, I mentioned Twitter last because this past Sunday, during Money in the Bank, WWE's most recent pay-per-view, James McDonald and Corey Callahan actually live-tweeted for the first time during the pay-per-view.
I'm not the biggest fan of it. I know. You were really bugging me to do it.
So. I pretty much forced you to do it.
Well, it's just I feel like I'm not the fastest tweeter, so I feel like I'm going to miss part of the action if I'm sitting there tweeting out on my phone, but I can understand the appeal of it.
You've actually told me before that you don't like people that
I don't like being spoiled with up-to-the-minute tweets like that. I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm just being old school, but
Well, what about the way that we tried it? And I tried to tell people to not directly tweet results.
I liked it. We were kind of being constructive with what was going on in the show with our live tweets, so I don't mind it that way. But I mean, if you're just, you know, handing out spoilers and, okay, this guy just beat this guy like 30 seconds after it happened. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. That's just me.
All right. Fair enough.
But Money in the Bank.
You're not
very good show.
Listen, you got to push social media more than you are.
Just like,
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. There you go. Come on. This show's never going to get big without Twitter.
You're right. No, you're right.
You got to get on it. Everyone, bug him. I'm trying. I pretty much forced him on Sunday.
At J_McDonald25. Give me a follow.
Yeah. People are really adding you. All right. Money in the Bank. We had it this Sunday from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. I did find out our good friend Brian Socia in Philly was there live. I asked him if he was sitting next to Vince. He actually replied back and said he knew what he was doing. He was sitting next to Triple H.
Oh.
Smart rebuttal.
Oh, he's taking sides, I see.
Good, I like that. But Money in the Bank, you and I actually sat down together on Sunday and watched it. Something we don't get to do all the time.
No, unfortunately not.
And after that 3 hours, from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock, you the pay-per-view's finally over. You start walking away from the television. How do you feel, James?
Actually, I was really pleased with what I saw. I thought it was worth the money that we spent to order the pay-per-view. Money in the Bank, third year in a row that WWE's put out a real quality show for their Money in the Bank pay-per-view. So it's really kind of established itself now as one of these pay-per-views that people look forward to every year. And it's really kind of turned into the new King of the Ring style pay-per-view where it establishes that next up-and-comer who's going to be the one of the next main eventers.
To me, the excitement level of this pay-per-view is almost up there with the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
You know how people get amped for Royal Rumble because anything can happen? That's kind of what has happened with Money in the Bank.
And honestly, you know what? I totally believe that it's attributed to the surprise factor between those type of gimmick matches, between the Rumble match and your Money in the Bank ladder match. It's just that's real surprise factor. That's just so hard to get nowadays in professional wrestling. And that when you do get something like that, it really attracts people to it.
I think we both agree here, James, that Money in the Bank was a really good pay-per-view.
It was, yes.
Is there anything that you didn't like or that detracted from the pay-per-view?
Well, there was a couple of logic gaps in some of the finishes that kind of bothered me. I mean, the big one obviously being in the match between Mark Henry and John Cena. I mean, the STF finish, him tapping out like that? Come on now. I mean, this is a guy who's pulling semi-trucks by his shoulders and you're telling me he can't break out of John Cena's STF? Like, at least have him pass out. Don't have him tap out and make him look weak like that, you know?
The match itself was amazing.
Way better than I thought it was. Mark Henry and John Cena put on a great match. I mean, it went obviously the way we predicted it would, you know, Mark Henry beating him down for the first three quarters of the match and then Cena getting his big comeback, you know. But other than that, I mean, yeah, predictability aside, it was a great match. The other one that I'm going to quickly mention here is the finish between the Ziggler and Del Rio there where AJ interfered and hit Del Rio like that. Just the whole execution of it just seemed kind of odd and off to me. I mean, if I were booking this is just me. If I were booking it, I would have had AJ go to hit Del Rio with the belt and then maybe Del Rio ducks and she hits Ziggler instead. So that way Ziggler actually wins the match by disqualification. And then that kind of would set up a rematch maybe for, you know, the World Heavyweight title. But as we've seen on Monday Night Raw, they're going in a different direction with Ziggler. But just the whole way it was executed too, like when she hit Del Rio with the belt, I mean, there was no way the ref's not going to see that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't she try to do it when Del Rio's like, you know, maybe leaning on the ropes or something and you come, you know, from the outside and clock him or something, you know, something like that where the ref's back is turned. I mean, it was just poorly executed, I thought. Maybe it's just me nitpicking, but
how do you feel about Damian Sandow winning the SmackDown Money in the Bank briefcase?
Oh, I like I said before, it was a surprise to me. I totally did not see Sandow winning it. I really thought Barrett was going to win it, but you know what? This could be the start of a really cool feud between Sandow and Cody Rhodes. And I mean, come on, Cody Rhodes, did he steal that match or what? He was great. Yeah.
Wade Barrett, I expected to do more.
I thought Wade, yeah, he was my pick to win. I really thought they would have gone with him. So, I mean, the question arises now is what do you do with Barrett?
Yeah, exactly. He's someone that should be up there. I'm a little confused with that one. But maybe it's just not his time.
Maybe they got something special in store for him. You never know.
A guy who has been pushed to the forefront would be the man who won the Raw Money in the Bank briefcase, a shot at the WWE Championship, and that is Randy Orton. Not our original picks.
No, not our original picks, but...
How do you feel about it?
You know what? I think it's a good thing. I thought it was a very good idea to give Randy the briefcase. A, he had never won the match before, and B, he totally needed something to revitalize his character. I mean, week after week on this show, you and me have been sitting here going, oh, God, how stale is Randy Orton?
Yeah.
Well, this rejuvenates him a bit and gives him renewed interest and stuff like that. And you know what? I'm happy with it. I don't think the Philadelphia crowd at the end of the show was very happy with it.
Yeah.
I think they really wanted to see Rob Van Dam take it. And speaking of Rob Van Dam, he looked great, didn't he?
I thought he looked good. I don't think he looks as quick as he used to, but
he
looked
good. Well, I mean, being 10 years older, you're going to slow down a step or two, but I mean, the guy looks like he's in phenomenal shape.
Mm-hmm. No, and he's entertaining.
And he is incredibly entertaining.
The crowd was behind him for sure.
Well, it's Philadelphia, obviously, but they loved him. I think you're going to really see RVD kind of step into the Chris Jericho-esque role where he's that guy who's established that's going to be putting over the younger guys, but still looking good and having good matches in the process, right?
Yeah. I saw a lot of RVD t-shirts or merchandise in the audience as well at Money in the Bank. So I think he's a good short-term investment at this point.
Oh, well, I mean, just judging by the match that he had with Jericho on Raw, I mean,
yeah.
It was fantastic. I mean, if you thought Van Damme missed a step, well, that match just shut everybody up, right?
Before we get to Monday Night Raw, let me just quickly wrap up Money in the Bank 2013. Are you giving it a thumbs up?
Oh, definitely. I'll definitely give it a thumbs up, yep.
So that being said, we are now the next day, the Monday night, and that essentially is the start of the road to SummerSlam, as cliche as
And I love
is.
It, too, because it's all brand new, fresh storylines going forward. It's actually a very exciting time for the product right now.
Yes. Well, let's talk about it. Monday Night Raw this week, coming from Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. Let's find out what happened. Let's talk all about it in our Tale of the Tape.
Now, if he should choose, select me and accept my challenge, well, I select to face me for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam. I select Daniel Bryan.
It's time for the Tale of the Tape.
Well, there you had it, Corey. The big decision made by John Cena at the end of this week's Monday Night Raw. And that was kind of the theme that we saw from this week's Monday Night Raw, happening from Brooklyn, like you mentioned, which was the place where Raw took place after WrestleMania that you were at.
No, that's not true.
Oh, is that not the place? Oh,
it was at the Izod Center in New Jersey.
That's right. I slapped my own hand. But anyways, definitely a good Raw, like I said, prefaced by this choice that John Cena had to make about who his challenger was going to be for the title at SummerSlam. Just something kind of new, eh?
Well,
seeing the title holder pick his own opponent.
As John Cena walked out of the, as he walked out of the entranceway on Monday and split the group of WWE superstars were sitting up on the ramp, there was something just a bit arrogant about the whole thing to me. You have John Cena like coming out with the ability to handpick his opponent for SummerSlam. Does anyone else get that?
Well, I think it was more, I think Brad Maddox had more to do with it. And I think they were trying to really play up the fact that this guy, Brad Maddox, could possibly be a wild card as the new general manager of Monday Night Raw. So,
how do you feel about Brad Maddox in the role of GM?
Honestly, I think it's going to be something refreshing and something new. I think he does very well at his role. He's actually a very good performer. His delivery is spot on. He's very clear. He enunciates well. I mean, I think he's going to do very well.
There's one thing I don't like about what they've done with Brad Maddox already. He's already a bit of a lackey to Stephanie and Triple H.
Well, everybody is.
I know, but they didn't have to be that way. He could have been a... I guess just the idea that he became GM is so ridiculous, so he immediately starts out as that, but he could have been authoritative. He could have been a presence. He could have been someone to reckon with.
That's not Brad Maddox's character, though, unfortunately. It's been established since last year. He's the kind of, you know, the kind of, you know, greasy type, you know, cowardly type character. But I think what we're going to see here is because Vince McMahon kind of made him the GM and said to the fans, you know, well, you're going to get what you deserve. So I think Vince made Maddox GM thinking that he's going to do a really bad job, but I think we're going to see Maddox actually going to be a really good GM. He's going to make, you know, exciting matches or whatever, right? So it's going to be kind of like a swerve.
Well,
that way.
So he has a hand in setting up John Cena versus Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's a big thing to do.
Now, August 18th is when SummerSlam is, and that's at the Staples Center in Los Angeles,
fifth
California.
Fifth year in a row now.
I have to admit, this Monday, they set it up perfectly. We're 4.5 weeks away, so we got lots of time to build up. How do you feel about Daniel Bryan versus John Cena?
Oh, I think it's going to be an excellent match. Just excellent. I mean, a few questions arise for me. You know, now that we've got this Total Divas show coming out, are we going to see the Bella Twins now maybe play a role in the whole storyline?
Well, what's
forward?
Interesting here, and I don't think it's a huge secret, is that John Cena and Daniel Bryan are both dating one half of the Bella Twins.
Yeah, you just prefaced it for me. Thank you.
So, do we just ignore that here? I guess we do. We just ignore it, right?
Do we, though?
I think so.
I mean, with this Total Divas show coming out, I mean, wouldn't that be a perfect opportunity to kind of make some, you know, cheesy reality series type episodes where you got their two boyfriends going after each other? I don't know. It all depends. I don't know how they're going to do this Total Divas show. I still have to see it because it hasn't premiered yet. But I mean, there is that factor there. But as far as John Cena versus Daniel Bryan, the match goes, I think it's going to be an excellent match. I really think you're going to see Daniel Bryan take John Cena to the limits.
One thing I like here is the crowd was calling for it and the WWE delivered.
Well, one of the things I didn't like about it was I think the WWE kind of tipped its hand a little bit too much just by the fact that if you notice, they didn't have any Daniel Bryan on Monday Night Raw whatsoever right until the very end when Cena made his decision.
How's that a bad thing?
Because to guys like me who are intelligent wrestling fans, you're already thinking, okay, well,
you're saying it's fairly obvious.
Yeah, it's obvious. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, the WWE picked up on that's what everybody wants. And yes, that's what I, as a fan, want to. So, I mean, it's not bad in that fact. I thought maybe they could have, I don't know.
They could have made it more suspenseful as to who John Cena was facing.
Exactly. They could have maybe had more backstage vignettes and then maybe had one vignette with Daniel Bryan and John Cena.
Or maybe build it for a week as to who he might be facing.
Because if they'd had something like that, if they'd had something where like you had, you know, Bryan and Cena interacting, or even if Bryan had a match that night, it would still lend that shred of doubt that Cena wouldn't pick Daniel Bryan, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. But by not seeing him all night until the very end like that, it was kind of, you kind of knew that he was going to pick Daniel Bryan there. That shred of doubt, that shade of doubt, it wasn't there. So
let me ask you this.
That'd be my small gripe.
Let me ask you this. Is it 100% that it's going to be John Cena versus Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam?
I would think so.
We do have an X factor waiting in the wings, and that's Randy Orton. What if Randy Orton gets involved between now and August 18th?
Well, you're right. You know what? Yeah, you're right. There is, I mean, I don't know what the creative's decision is. I mean, obviously, he could cash in his case and say, I want to be involved in the match too, and then all of a sudden becomes a triple threat or whatever.
Yeah.
Personally, what I think is going to happen is you're going to see John Cena and Daniel Bryan just have a hellacious match at SummerSlam. Daniel Bryan's actually going to win the match, but before Daniel Bryan can even put his hands on the belt, you're going to see Randy Orton come out, cash in his briefcase, take the belt away from Daniel Bryan before he can even touch it. That way, Daniel Bryan can have his big moment maybe of chasing Randy Orton for it all the way up till WrestleMania, and then maybe finally becoming the WWE champion at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Right? I don't know. That's just one scenario.
One thing I want to bring up here is that Daniel Bryan is definitely the most over guy in the WWE.
Oh, by far.
That puts John Cena in an awkward position because he's supposed to be the face of the company. But are they going to be cheering for John Cena versus Daniel Bryan?
No, they're going to be cheering for Daniel Bryan. At this point, it's two baby faces going at it. Right?
Okay, imagine if you throw Randy Orton into the mix. And I say this as a strong possibility because here we have Daniel Bryan, basically a guy, since he has come to the WWE, everything he touches turns to gold.
Yeah.
Including the talent that he is working with. And I use Kane as an example. I use AJ Lee as an example. You know, I even... would use Randy Orton as an example here. A guy that just won Money in the Bank. He's now working a program with Daniel Bryan and John Cena. To me, it seems very feasible that we get Randy Orton thrown into the mix here with John Cena and Daniel Bryan.
No, that's totally not out of the realm of possibility.
Would you want to see a triple threat, or would you rather see Cena and Daniel Bryan?
No, I'd personally see a singles match, Daniel Bryan versus John Cena, and I think that's what everybody else wants to see, too.
Okay, let's stick with that scenario then here, until we see something otherwise. Mm-hmm. Initial thoughts, Daniel Bryan, John Cena. Does Daniel Bryan have a chance in hell of taking that title off Cena?
Absolutely. Absolutely. With how over he is right now, and with them going into SummerSlam being the second biggest pay-per-view that WWE has all year, I think there's a very good chance that you could see Daniel Bryan take the belt off him.
More of a chance than what Mark Henry had just this past Sunday?
God, leaps and bounds more of a chance. Leaps and bounds. I mean, as over as Mark Henry is, I mean, he's gone past his prime as a professional wrestler. Now, that being said, I'm not taking anything away from him. The guy's doing amazing work, but like I said, you know, he's past that prime of really being the face that's going to carry forward the company, right? Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan, I mean, he's just reaching into his prime right now. He's, what, 32, 33 years old? I mean,
okay, so Mark Henry fades off here. He doesn't...
Well, I don't think Mark Henry's going to fade off, per se. I think we're going to see him get involved with the Shield based on what we saw on Monday night there.
Yeah.
But I just don't think you're going to see Henry in that title picture now for a little while.
Okay, so Daniel Bryan, Cena, I gotta admit, it was a decent ending to Monday Night Raw, having Daniel Bryan, John Cena face-to-face in the ring. The crowd is clearly behind Daniel Bryan, which I think makes for an interesting dilemma with John Cena, because the last time we really saw this, aside from The Rock, is when it was CM Punk versus John Cena as they were heading into Money in the Bank. The crowd was clearly behind CM Punk and not behind John Cena. I'm a little worried that this could happen here in this instance. Not a good situation for the face of the company to be in, but at the same time, you want to run with it, right?
Maybe they want to change the face of the company.
Fair enough.
Maybe they, like I said, remember how I was saying last week on the show, when you have a year that ends in three, it's kind of like a cyclical year for the WWE. It's where they kind of change the way up they do things. And I really think that change you're going to see this year happen is Daniel Bryan winning that title.
I personally...
Being the next face going forward.
I personally think John Cena will keep the WWE Championship until WrestleMania 30. He will walk into WrestleMania 30 as the champion.
Well, we will see who's right come SummerSlam.
I just think that if Mark Henry wasn't a guy to take it off Cena, I don't think Daniel Bryan is. And at the same time, you also don't want to rush Daniel Bryan into the title picture. And I understand that doesn't really make a lot of sense, because Daniel Bryan has been with the WWE for a few years now. But at the same time, you could argue that his peak just isn't quite here yet. And it might be next year.
It might
be next year he gets the WWE championship.
I don't know, man. He looks...
Like, so you're saying they need to put it on
him over right now.
So you're saying they need to put it
on him. I think it would be a smart decision to put it on him. I think the fans are ready to have Daniel Bryan as the champion. And would really, and putting the belt on a guy like Daniel Bryan would really show a shift in the focus of the professional wrestling industry in general going to a smaller guy, right? And now all of a sudden it gives these smaller guys who are in the independent scene, you know, now it all of a sudden gives them hope. Well, if a guy Daniel Bryan size can come and be the champion, then, you know, maybe I can do it too. So I think it would be a great idea, personally.
And that's a good segue to our next major feud within the WWE, and that is Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk. Here you have a guy of average size, CM Punk, taking on the monster. And really, what we saw on Monday was proof of that, that Brock Lesnar is a monster compared to CM Punk.
Well, we really didn't touch on this when we were talking about Money in the Bank at the beginning of the show, but one of the big things that happened, was Paul Heyman turning on CM Punk during that Money in the Bank match. Thank you. I was getting caught on my words. But yeah, this is going to be, I think, one of the best feuds of the summer. And what a great segment on Monday. I mean, both guys just amazing on the mic, especially with their delivery. You really could feel the emotion out of both guys.
They were both excellent.
Oh, absolutely. This is going to be a great feud all summer. Not Brock Lesnar, but Paul Heyman and CM Punk. And yeah, I mean, Brock Lesnar, what a monster. Just tossing CM Punk around like a rag doll. And give props to CM Punk. He did look tough in his beatdown. He kept getting up.
Yeah. One thing about that whole encounter with Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar, and CM Punk on Monday was it sold SummerSlam for me.
Oh, absolutely. Now you've got John Cena and Daniel Bryan as your top match, and you've got Brock and CM Punk as your undercard. Already, I want to buy SummerSlam.
They did an excellent job of convincing me.
And we're 4 weeks away. We're 4 weeks away, and already I want to buy this pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly.
Way to go, WWE.
Exactly. Here is an example of such a great week in wrestling, right?
And you know what, man? I totally believe it's only going to get better going forward.
Let's hope. It was really good this Monday. I was into it.
It was a good Raw. It was a very
The Brock Lesnar CM Punk thing really does it for me. And what's even more interesting is when I actually think of those two getting into the ring at SummerSlam, it's like, okay, which direction do you go here? Do you have the monster Brock Lesnar, who you want to keep strong heading into WrestleMania, because he is a draw for WrestleMania 30?
Absolutely. And it's going to be interesting too, because you've got two guys that both have MMA backgrounds, so it's going to be a question mark of what kind of fight this is going to be. Are they going to try to incorporate a kind of MMA style into it? Like when you saw Lesnar beating down CM Punk, for example, on Monday, was using a lot of the knee strikes and
ripped off the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu jacket.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see.
But do you go the route of CM Punk walking away here? Because here's a guy that arguably deserves to start winning. I mean, he's been on... He lost to The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I mean, he lost to John Cena before that in that opportunity to face The Rock at WrestleMania. He hasn't had a lot of great match success in the recent months. I mean, he's still successful. Let's not kid ourselves.
I think you're going to continue to see that. I think you're going to see Brock Lesnar be victorious at SummerSlam, because I think the theme for CM Punk this year is, because he had such an amazing 2012, is you're going to really see him be on the downturn for 2013 and not have a lot of pay-per-view success. Kind of a reversal of what John Cena was last year. You know what I mean?
So as a fan, not thinking about what's right for business, James, but as a fan, who would you like to win in that match? Brock Lesnar or CM Punk?
Oh, as a fan, I'd probably go for CM Punk. Hmm. If I'm going just pure fanboy, then yeah, I'd probably say CM Punk.
But best
for business, I would have to say Brock Lesnar. Because you want to keep Brock Lesnar looking like a big, strong beast.
Yeah.
Personally, the way I would book it going forward is you'd have CM Punk kind of get the upper hand, you know, two or three times moving forward into SummerSlam, and then you finally, you know, you have a hellacious match. Brock finally, you know, and Brock will go over at SummerSlam. How, you know, I don't know if they're going to do it that way, but that's the way I would do it. So now my next question I'll ask you, just the last thing touching on this Punk or Lesnar feud, do you think we're going to see more Lesnar appearances heading into SummerSlam, or do you think we're going to see CM Punk kind of interact with Curtis Axel more as they move towards SummerSlam?
Well, I think you're going to see more interaction with Paul Heyman than Curtis Axel. The reason why they're implementing Heyman into this whole mix is because of the limited dates with Lesnar, and just the fact that Heyman is way better on the mic. So I don't think Curtis Axel. I think Paul Heyman is going to be at the forefront of this.
Well, you kind of knew this whole thing was coming as soon as it was revealed that, you know, Heyman was managing both Lesnar and CM Punk. Everybody's always questioning, you know, when is it going to happen? And when Punk returned as a babyface after WrestleMania there, you knew it was going to happen, right?
But he's the guy that CM Punk's going to be dealing with. I think the Curtis Axel thing is maybe just a tease for now to really solidify that Axel is part of Heyman's troop. I don't really see Axel playing a role with the Punk-Lesnar thing.
Well, yeah, I guess you don't see Axel playing the role as like the bodyguard or the guy who does Heyman's dirty work moving forward here.
Might see it one night on Raw, but I don't think it's going to be a major role.
No?
No.
Interesting. Okay.
I think it was interesting that Curtis Axel got involved at Money in the Bank with Daniel Bryan. To me, I'm a little more perplexed with that because, you know, here you have Curtis Axel straight up attacking Daniel Bryan and nothing mentioned about it the next night on Raw. Was that just a one-night run-in and we're just...
Well, I think that was supposed to be a swerve, right? I think that was supposed to... I honestly... You're right. I do agree with you. That did kind of play out weird there at the end of the pay-per-view there. But I think that was supposed to be a swerve for CM Punk,
okay,
right? To kind of throw the suspicion off of Paul Heyman, so then Heyman could turn on him there like he did.
Yeah. But regardless, we talk about these things, and it's all good talk.
It's fun.
It's all questions that are fun to try and get answers to, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what this is all about.
That's why we do a show.
And SummerSlam is looking good right now.
Looking really good.
Let's talk about another big thing that's happening right now, and that is the Wyatt family. We see them for the second week this past Monday come out attacking R-Truth. Initial thoughts on that?
Well, I thought Bray Wyatt delivered an amazing promo. He's really good at his kind of deranged spiritual leader character. I don't even know how you would classify it. I think, honestly, he kind of reminds me of 2009 CM Punk when he was doing the Straight Edge Society thing. He was doing like that kind of crazy pseudo-Jesus gimmick.
Have you ever seen the movie Devil's Rejects?
I haven't, no.
It's a Rob Zombie movie.
And I love Rob Zombie, too.
Well, you should watch this movie. It's one of the better movies out there. I mean, it's pretty twisted.
Yeah.
But the characters in that movie are very similar to the Wyatt family.
Really?
But the Wyatt family are a lot more PG.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. They're not Rob Zombie characters.
But
no,
very similar. I like how he is on the mic. There's no denying that. The one thing I don't like about what I've seen here is the Wyatt family coming out and attacking R-Truth the exact same way they attacked Kane the week before. And I don't like when you do a new character coming out, attacking a random person for a few weeks, and that's how you solidify that they're a force to be reckoned with.
Well, that's exactly what the Shield did.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying here. It's like the Wyatt family is debuting the exact same way the Shield did.
Yeah.
Random beatdowns.
Maybe creative looks at it and goes, oh man, we had all this success with the Shield. Let's do it again with the Wyatts here. Let's see if we can capture lightning in a bottle twice. I don't see anything wrong with it. Personally, I have no problem with it. Maybe you do. I mean, I have no problem
with
it.
Is it at all a little sloppy? In terms of writing, I mean...
Maybe, oh, yeah, okay. Maybe creative-wise, it's a little sloppy. You couldn't come up with something a little bit more intelligent. But hell, give them time. They're only two weeks in. They could have a grander scheme of things.
I just hate seeing the same thing 2 weeks in a row. Yeah. I really do. I don't like that.
I know. The next question is, do I make anything about three Southern white guys beating the crap out of a black guy?
No, you don't.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that.
No, it's PG.
No, it's completely fine. That's fine. That's totally fine.
What about Damian Sandow winning the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank briefcase?
You know what? Now that I've had a few days for it to digest, I really like that they've done that.
Do you find it odd that he lost on Monday?
No, I don't. I think you're going to see him kind of booked maybe in the same...
Losing
not so great manner that you saw Dolph Ziggler get booked in with the briefcase.
He's losing to Christian, a guy that took part in the Money in the Bank match the night before with him.
I know. I like that idea because that just solidifies more the idea that Sandow shouldn't have even won the briefcase in the first place. By having Christian beat him, it just says, yeah, this guy really shouldn't have deserved the briefcase in the first place.
Okay.
And I like that. That was a good idea.
That would be an interesting match. Damian Sandow versus Cody Rhodes for the briefcase at SummerSlam?
Yeah, that would be an amazing match. Plus, it looks like we might get Dolph Ziggler taking on Big E Langston based on what we saw at the pay-per-view and on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
But you know what? We've digressed. We've talked a lot. I think we should leave it a little bit until next week. We got the meat and potatoes of our show coming up here, Corey.
Yes, that's right. Let's switch gears. Let's move to the local independent wrestling scene. And some interesting news coming down the pipe in the last week or so, and that is that the Canadian National Wrestling Alliance, the CNWA, is apparently closing its doors. And we got the word from Vance Nevada himself, so we're talking to him tonight. But before we get to him, James, let me ask you, the idea that this alliance, which really seemed to be prospering, doing well...
A great idea. It was, I mean, a win-win situation for everybody.
...is closing. And when you first hear that news, why do you think that's happening?
Wow, geez, I don't know. I mean, that's why I'm so interested to talk to Vance tonight about that. Because, I mean, here just 2 weeks ago, we were talking to Bret the Hitman Hart about it, and he was saying so it was such a good idea. So, I mean, now here to hear 2 weeks later that it's shutting down, I mean, when things of this caliber happen in the world of professional wrestling, you know there's got to be a level of controversy attached to it. So I'm really interested to hear what the scoop is.
Is it politics related, or is it the fact that he maybe just wants to scale it back in life? What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe it could be politics. I'm probably heavily leaning towards politics, but it could be a little bit of A, it could be a little bit of B.
Let's find out. Let's get Vance Nevada on the phone. Let's kick off the local wrestling scene.
Oh, more vintage Callahan.
James loves it when I say the words kick off. Here it is, the local wrestling scene.
The local wrestling scene, bringing you up to date with the promotions all over the Pacific Northwest.
Love that music, James.
Beautiful. There is no greater music to open a segment than that.
Any excuse to play Wild Child on the show, and I'll look for it. Yes. There you go. It's our local wrestling scene. We're talking coast-to-coast wrestling up here in Canada, but typically we focus on the Pacific Northwest, so I shouldn't really say only Canada. We've talked about stuff down in Washington and Oregon before.
Absolutely.
We try and give the Pacific Northwest a shine. How does that sound?
And this guy that we're talking to has wrestled down in Washington and...
You have the cheesiest intros.
I do.
Segues, I should say.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to make the cheesy segues, to make things run smooth for you.
Okay.
I want to
make
me
look
better.
Man. Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Now, we're laughing, having a good time. But let's be honest. We got some interesting news a couple weeks ago regarding the Canadian National Wrestling Alliance, the CNWA. And what's more interesting is that, you know, 2 weeks ago we were talking nothing but great things about it, and here we are talking about possibly shutting the doors. And the guy who let us know about that is someone who is at the forefront of the CNWA, and that is Vance Nevada. We have him on the line. Vance, are you there, and how are you doing, my friend?
Gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
Not too bad.
We're doing real good. At least I am.
Let me ask you this. How are you doing? Well, there's a lot going on in your world, I imagine, with the Canadian National Wrestling Alliance, and we're all very excited to hear it. Before you get to that, let me just ask you, you know, how are you liking, what's your mindset here with wrestling these days? Are you happy with everything that's going on? Are you a little disappointed? Are you frustrated? I'm trying to get a general headspace of where you're at, because even just by talking to you through text message, it's quite difficult for me to pick up on.
Sure. You know what? I think, you know, there's a couple of things that have happened for me personally, you know, in the last 4 to 6 weeks, of course. Retiring as an active wrestler, wrestling my final match on June 1st. And now, you know, certainly being one of the key stakeholders in the Canadian National Wrestling Alliance and making and being the guy that sort of pressed the button, you know, to self-destruct the organization. I think there's probably a lot of people that think, well, geez, there must be a lot going on with Vance Nevada right now. and really, it's not that complex, quite honestly.
Okay. How are you feeling on a personal level? Is life good yourself?
You know what? I'm feeling fantastic, actually. You know, when it, you know, I've had a lot of trouble with my neck, and that goes back 10 years. You know, first actually injuring it in 2002, training at the original ECCW House of Pain in Langley. Mm-hmm. And had trouble with my neck, you know, for several years, and you'd go to doctors and you'd say, you know, listen, there's something wrong with my neck, and they'd do an X-ray or they'd try this, they'd do that, and they'd say, no, there's nothing wrong with you, carry on. And so I've been sort of living and working in pain for 10 years, and it wasn't until last summer, around this time, where I was wrestling a match in Winnipeg and came back with a concussion, and noticed a few days later that I had no dexterity at all in the fingers on my left hand.
Oh, geez.
So back to the doctor and say, listen, you guys have been telling me for 10 years that nothing is wrong, but this is definitely not right. So let's figure this out. So CT scan and an MRI, and finally they've diagnosed that, you know, I've got significant damage in my cervical spine, C2 through to C6, which I'm currently on a wait list to see a neurosurgeon. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the doctor's orders directly were, well, here are your options. You can stop wrestling or you can be paralyzed. And so let me just consider those options for a second.
Yeah, no kidding.
So would tonight's announcement, or what we're going to talk about tonight, would it be safe to say that a lot of it is because of these nagging injuries, and that, it, you know, you're getting up there and it just might be time to take a step back? Is that a fair, or is that a major part of this reason of why CNWA is closing down?
No, it certainly is a factor, but you know, not the only thing. So,
but
you know, and it really is two separate things.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of people who are detractors of Vance Nevada will tell you that I've always thought I was bigger than the business, and that's not really the case. You know, the CNWA can carry on without Vance Nevada. It definitely can. And, you know, as sort of the reality of that diagnosis set in, and as I prepare to do my last match, you know, I was really hopeful that we would see some new leaders emerge and say, you know what, yeah, we want to see, you know, Canadian wrestling, particularly with this platform that really respects all organizations and all talent. We want to see that continue. We want to see that succeed, particularly because there were so many wrestlers who benefited from that increased schedule, that increased visibility, the increased media presence.
We
really didn't see that come together.
Let me set this up the best way I know how, Vance, and that is, I'll start by saying, since I've known you, you have always been someone that has been involved with independent wrestling, and you've always gone that extra step to ensure that it's successful, or as successful as it can be. And you are always putting more than the average person into just everything behind the scenes and helping the people rise through the ranks, such as new wrestlers, training new guys, that sort of thing. it comes to a surprise to me that, you know, 2 weeks ago you and I are talking about how you're having a CNWA show up in Northern Alberta, and then 2 weeks later we are now at a point where we're announcing that we're closing the door. So the best question here I can ask is why is this happening?
Well, I think, you know, really to get to the why and you know, without making a short story long, it really goes back to the beginning of the concept for the CNWA. So 2 years ago, you know, I had been promoting some shows independently and here in Central Alberta, and I was approached by Fred May from RDTV. And Fred, of course, had a long relationship with wrestling. You know, when he had his company Mayford Productions, he was the producer for Stampede Wrestling for 21 years, and was responsible for the organization getting sold into syndication and being aired internationally. So when he said, you know, listen, I'm really interested to get back into wrestling. I've got all these connections with television. You know, I know that I could get this show national again. You know, that was really the catalyst for us to start thinking about independent wrestling in a different way.
Was that the original reason as to why CNWA opened up?
Absolutely. You know, the promise of national TV, it's kind of been like the holy grail for independent wrestling for the last 20 years. And so for him to say, you know what, here I am, here's my background, here's the connections that I have, here's what I can do for you. Okay, let me go to the promoters now. So I go to the promoter in Lethbridge and Edmonton and Kelowna and Vancouver and Winnipeg and Moose Jaw, and I say, listen, here's what we got, guys. You know, every one of us wants to get TV. Some of us have succeeded in that, you know, with varying degrees of success. Now we have an opportunity here with somebody who is a known person in the television industry to go and pitch a wrestling show to a national network. Let's work together, because, yeah, we've got some great talent in each of these markets, but if we're talking about the best of the best, let's bring it all together and let's get it on television, and let's really show, you know, the Canadian national audience what we've got going on here independently in Canada, because we do have some great talent here. And we do see, you know, with the number of guys that we're exporting, when you look at Kyle O'Reilly or Bobby Sharp or Kyle Sebastian or Nicole Matthews, you know, the Canadian wrestlers on the independent scene are rising to the top wherever they go. And, you know, we need to celebrate that. So it took very little to convince the promoters that, yeah, this is what we need to do. So you bring it all together, and, you know, you go back to that original promise from the television producer to say, we're going to get television. So months turn into a year. A year turns into 2 years. We're no closer now to national TV than before. And during that time, you know, now he's trying to tell me that network television is not the way to go. Network television is a dying breed, and everybody's watching TV online. Yeah, that very well may be the case, but you still need to advertise that product some way. Mm-hmm. And you still need to hype that product some way, and it needs to make money. So if we were talking about selling a show into syndication for $3,500 an episode, or we're talking about you airing a show online, the money needs to come from somewhere. In order to sustain this. And when it didn't happen, then you start to see people, you know, branch off. So you saw Winnipeg start to do their own thing, and they've got TV through a local cable organization in Winnipeg, and then got it onto the Bell satellite network. And so, you know, their show is available widely. Legend City Wrestling in Newfoundland, you know, got their show on the NTV, which is the Newfoundland Superstation, but that's available in most cable markets across the country. So now they've got national TV. You know, and you've got these organizations popping up, getting television. Meanwhile, we've got this guy with 21 years wrestling television experience telling me that the market's dead and nobody wants to touch wrestling.
These organizations that do have these TV deals with NTV and others, were they involved with the CNWA, or were they separate?
Winnipeg was. CWE, Canadian Wrestling Elite. Wrestling Elite.
Well, then
they were a member, yes.
Let me ask you this. For this idea of a national wrestling show to be pulled off, you need to have support, and that's fairly obvious. And the whole idea of the CNWA, A being Alliance, is that you have these different organizations across Canada coming together. And I'm guessing based off what I know, you are at, you are the person, you are the go-to person, the contact person that all these promoters across Canada are.
Liaison.
Yeah, is that correct? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, and that kind of, you know, started to become a position, particularly when, you know, the promises aren't being kept. I'm the guy that they go to first and say, wait a minute, you sold us on this bill of goods that we're going to have national TV. When is that going to come? And so I'm the guy that's giving them the bad news every 3 weeks or 4 weeks saying, yep, no news on TV, no news on TV, sorry.
Were you getting that support back?
You know, I was, notionally, you know, in concept, people were, you know, the promoters that were involved were really on board with the idea, you know, but we reached a point where, you know, as you mentioned, you know, I've always tried to take more on, and, you know, when promoters got frustrated, it's like, okay, what can I do to hold this together? So it got to a point where I was doing all of the artwork and posters for five different markets, designing tickets for three or four of those markets, doing all of the press releases for everybody.
You were also working on a magazine and a podcast as well.
I was doing the magazine almost entirely by myself, doing a weekly podcast. You know, and it was at a point where, you know, I was doing, you know, 18 to 19 to 20 hour days, you know, for 5 months straight.
My God.
And by the time I would get to the weekend, like this was my day. So, you know, it would usually start Sunday night, you know, after my wife and my baby boy went to bed. And so I would, you know, go and crank out 4 or 5 hours overnight and then do that every night, Sunday to Thursday. Friday and Saturday, I was on the road somewhere at a CNWA venue. And then, you know, to try to squeeze out some family time, wherever we were Saturday night, you know, I'm making that drive home overnight to be home by 4 or 5 in the morning to at least have some family time. And by that time, you know, you get to Sunday and I'm just a zombie. And, you know, so it's not quality time.
Fans, go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, to me, that sounds like a more than reasonable explanation as to why the CNWA would need to be scaled back or disbanded. I mean, James and I have had that conversation about this radio show before. You know, it is a ton of work, and people don't realize the amount of work that it needs behind the scenes for the show to actually happen. I mean, really, it's an 8-hour day for James and I on the Wednesday or Thursday that we do the show. So
sometimes 9, sometimes 10.
And right. at the end of the day,
yeah.
If we want to stop the show, we can stop the show. We're not disappointing anyone here. I mean, it's just James and I. I would imagine with the CNWA, there's probably some people that really, you know, are totally fine with the news and they don't care. But I wanted to ask you, are there people that are pissed off at you that you're closing this down or giving up this? At, you know, are you giving up at this point? Are they mad at you for that?
You know, it was very, very interesting because, you know, really, you know, I put everything that I had, you know, personally in terms of time, effort, money, into making this thing go for the last 2 years, you know, to the point where, you know, when we were looking to, you know, the schedule wasn't busy enough yet to support where we needed to go financially. So I took on a second job, you know, so I was working 12-hour night shifts doing hospital security. To fund the purchase of the national championship. And I did that for 8 weeks. So I would work my day job for 8 hours a day, come home, have family time with my family, sleep for 2 hours, go work 12 hours overnight. And that lasted for 8 weeks until I fell asleep at the wheel coming home.
Jeez.
And rode off my truck. Luckily that was all that was done. But, you know, when we got to the last few weeks and guys kind of saw the writing on the wall, it was really interesting for me to see the dynamic of people and guys that, you know, I had traveled the roads with and the way that they were representing the situation to others in the locker room or to others outside of the wrestling industry. And you know, without naming names, I can just say that, you know, there are people that I've been very close to in the wrestling business that made it very, very easy for me to leave.
Wow.
Like, that's very interesting. I mean, I want to ask obviously who, but
do we go there? No.
You know, it was, you know, I think, you know, I've never...
I can imagine a situation like this really exposes people's true colors, in a sense. Am I right?
I just, for me, let me just stop here. Let me say this. I'm thinking of, let me put myself in Marty Sugar's shoes. And this is the promoter of Big West Wrestling up in Kelowna. And he's involved with the CNWA. Marty, in my opinion, would have to be happy with everything Vance has done. He's helped promote this National Wrestling Alliance. Kelowna is part of a bigger scale. You know, Vance is helping put out posters, and you got this CNWA magazine coming out. And
doing a huge amount of work.
And if Vance decides to shut it down, I'm totally appreciative of everything he's done here. But we all know that that's not how it works in wrestling. No one can just appreciate hard work. So why would people be pissed off? Like, there's got to be someone that's souring this for you, Vance. And in what way has this been brought up? Can you at least talk about
that? You don't have to name names if you don't want to.
But can you
talk? Yeah, no, I think it's kind of, you know what, as I went through this you know, as you can imagine, you know, when you're working a schedule like that and dealing with a stress level like that, it affects you personally, and certainly, my wife could see the changes in me.
Well, you just don't seem as passionate about professional wrestling as you maybe once were, even a year ago. And for me, I just feel like there's something that's sour in you.
It's you know, certainly the not being able to get in there as a performer myself.
That would definitely do it.
It's tough. It's tough.
Why would you put all this effort into it if you can't do it yourself?
Yeah, and you know what? To one degree, you say, well, that's a pretty self-centered way to look at it.
No, like, I don't think so.
So you can't wrestle anymore. But it's not that. You know, so I would be in an arena, and we did, you know, the Jasper Arena on May Long Weekend, a nice hot crowd, big arena, you know, lit up like a great wrestling show, and just a great atmosphere. And you know, you see that opening match go out there, and you're thinking to yourself, like, man, what I would do.
You're a wrestler at heart.
To invent data to this crowd tonight. You know, I would eat these people alive. to some degree, you know, that definitely, you know, weighed on my mind. The other part is, you know, as the wrestling promoter, and you could talk to Michelle Starr, you could talk to the folks from ECCW, you know, they'll tell you, you know, the wrestling promoter is the most thankless job that there is. Everybody loves you when there's money coming in and when you're giving people a schedule, but when things start to slow down, you know, loyalty starts to slip. And as the promoter, you're the first guy in the building. You know, you're there with the ring and you're making sure that that's taken care of. You're the last guy out of the building. And, you know, we did, you know, as an example, we did that event in Jasper, and, you know, I was had the truck and I'm hauling the ring, and I want to make sure that I am the first guy out. So everyone else wants to stay behind and grab a meal, no problem. I'm going to get on the road. I'm going to get an hour ahead just in case anything goes wrong, because I know that everyone else is going to be in a mad rush to get home. And so I got out on the road and I got an hour ahead, and, you know, I'm traveling by myself, and, you know, I realized, you know, I'm too tired to make this trip. So I stopped and get a motel room. The next day, you know, I go to make a gas stop and blow two tires on the trailer.
Oh, no.
So now I'm stuck in a town for 6 hours until I can get these tires replaced. And it's now impacted that one day of that weekend that I could have spent with my family. Meanwhile, everyone else has carried on. Like, yeah, they made their money, and now they're doing whatever they were going to do with the rest of their weekend. And
why do you, do that then, Vance?
It is.
Why do you become the promoter? What does it, you know, for what?
You? You know what? And you know, that's kind of the irony of the whole thing. I never intended to be a wrestling promoter in my life, but I was also never one of those guys that was comfortable. And I've been in enough locker rooms where you sit there with some guy who's disgruntled and thinks he knows everything, and he'll sit in the back of the locker room and say, you know what, if I was running things around here, this is what we would do, and that's what we would do, and this is how it would be better. And I was never comfortable to be one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when the opportunity to promote kind of, you know, was, you know, fell on my lap, you know, there was a sale of a ring and assets for a company that had folded for an extraordinarily low price. And I thought, well, even if I don't want to promote, I should snap up this equipment because the resale value on it down the line would be worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you're sitting on this ring for 6 months and you think, well, you know, maybe I'll promote a show and see how it goes. And hey, that didn't do too bad and seemed to have some interest. So let's do another one. And, you know, we had a little bit of success with that. And then, of course, then you get the lure of a national television contract and realizing, okay, you know what, we have an opportunity to do something really good here. And then before you realize it, you're in so deep. You know, you're so financially invested. You're so emotionally invested in it.
Just snowballs.
And yeah. And so, you reach a point where we got to the end of that tour in May. And, you know, I had been telling the crew that I worked with in Alberta, particularly nightly, you know, for every month I would tell them, listen, somebody needs to step up because I'm not going to be able to maintain this pace, you know, for much longer. And you'd have people just kind of, you know, in an indirect way saying, yeah, you know, I'm very interested to help. Just let me know what I can do. Okay, well, here's a list of contacts. Maybe you get in touch with the venues or here's... Okay. Here's access to the email account. You know, you'd be responsible to send out the press releases or whatever, and you'd see like weeks go by and that isn't happening.
Is there?
And you know, so
sorry, Vance.
So now you get to May, and you know, I'm not wrestling anymore. This doesn't benefit me personally. This doesn't benefit my legacy. If guys don't want to take ownership of their own careers, why the hell am I caring so much? Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a sense that there maybe isn't the amount of help or the people that are willing to step up if the CNWA is closing, and that's ultimately why it is closing. Is there not enough people willing to step up and help keep this whole thing alive?
You know, there was kind of like, you know, two kinds of people that came out of the woodwork right in the last few weeks and few days. So you have, you know, one group of people that said, you know what, this is too bad that this is going to go this way. So why don't you just give me your assets and your contact lists and I will carry it on. Huh. And it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, in 2012, CNWA was a $60,000 enterprise. Hmm. And now we've got a lot of these contracts that are already established now. And now we've been back there two or three times. Mm-hmm. So you know you're sitting on guaranteed money, and you just want me to hand that over without you paying for it? No, I don't think so.
It's got to be some kind of restitution.
And then there was another element, and this amused me even more, is you have the people that would approach you that were specifically looking about what they could get out of it. So they'd say, hey, I know the CNWA is closing, and I'm really sad about that. Can I buy the belts? You know, can I buy this or that?
Yeah.
And... you know, at that point, you realize what you're dealing with. So, mm-hmm. It was a very, very easy decision for me. And actually, after that, your last event where we had Bret Hart as our special guest, and last week, within 3 days, I sold every single one of the CNWA belts except for the national championship, which is not for sale.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you're not even going to keep them. Did you sell them to active members of the CNWA or people outside?
Primarily, it was people that had been involved with the organization who had contributed in a way that added value to the organization. So not necessarily wrestlers.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was, you know, maybe a sponsor that really came on in a big way.
Interesting.
Or a supporter who saw the value and contributed in ways that helped us to operate and helped us to really build our brand.
Well, that's very good to hear.
And so in that way, the belts stayed within the family. Mm-hmm. And if I ever needed them or at some point in the future, if I was going to do some kind of a traveling display talking about Canadian wrestling, I know where they all are and I know I could get them back.
Last week, you had a show in Northern Alberta. The show actually got rained out, but what you were kind of telling me earlier was that it was a very interesting vibe because the roster knew that this might be the last show for the CNWA. Is that correct?
They did. And, you know, I've always kind of prided myself in being one of the most upfront promoters you know, with the talent. So, you know, very, very rarely, or, you know, unless there was a specific circumstance why, talent never shows up to the building to be surprised. And so I had sent out a notice to the crew about 4 days prior to let them know that at the conclusion of our event on July the 10th, you know, I would be collecting all the belts and any of the company assets, like the standing banners or anything that was logoed, and everybody would be paid out whatever they were still owed, and that would be the end. And so it was a really interesting dynamic, because you'd have, you know, some guys that were just sad because, you know, the CNWA had been probably the platform for them to get the biggest push of their career and the busiest schedule. So these guys are really sad. And then you've got other people who really never got the value of the organization to begin with, so they're indifferent. It's just another booking on their schedule. And then you had guys, you know, and some of these guys that have made it easy for me to leave, who kind of walked around me and didn't talk to me, but talked around me, like, you know, let's sit down over the next couple of days, and within earshot of me, let's sit down in the next couple of days and figure out how we recover from all of this. And let's figure out where we go from here. And let's figure out what we're going to do.
That's a class act.
Okay, well, what, you know, why didn't you guys talk about what we're going to do while I was still in the room? You know, if someone had come to me with a proposal that said, you know what, we still believe in the philosophy of the CNWA, and we want to make sure that what you've started carries on, you know what, there probably was a very real possibility that I would have let somebody else take the helm, but nobody really wanted to do that. It started to become a divide and conquer, every man for himself kind of a situation.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm okay. Like,
well, I guess the next question we ask is, what does the future hold for Fans of that?
It's been 2 weeks since this announcement. Actually, it's only been a week since this announcement has come out. A week later, is this the final verdict? Is the CNWA closing its doors? And what does the future hold for Vance Nevada?
Well, the CNWA is 100% absolutely unrevivably dead. And
so even if no one comes up to you here after hearing this and says, I'm interested in taking this over, it's still dead, or is the door partially open?
No, I think you know, like, while the official announcement has only happened in the last couple of weeks, certainly all of the promoters and some of the key players involved were aware of the status of things for months, and it sort of had an opportunity to, you know, come forward, either contribute, you know, and there's probably still people that would say, yeah, I would still love to see it go if somebody else wants to be in charge. But, you know, I think that, you know, without national television, there really is no glue to hold it all together.
I agree.
And, you know, in that case, you know, we still have a number of great independent wrestling promoters, All-Star Wrestling on the West Coast, Monster Pro Wrestling in Edmonton, Pure Power Wrestling in Lethbridge, Newfoundland Pro Wrestling, which is doing its debut tour this week, who are doing great work. And they're putting forth the best talent. And if I'm missing anybody off the top of my head, I certainly apologize. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Canadian independent wrestling will survive. And am I sad that the CNWA concept, you know, is finished? Yeah, I'm definitely sad. But at the same time, I can also take a look at some very key successes over the last 2 years and some firsts for independent wrestling that, you know, I can certainly be proud of, you know, years down the line. Mm-hmm.
How does someone like Michelle Starr respond to you when you let him know that the CNWA is closing? Because he is the promoter of All-Star Wrestling, and, you know, he's part of this conglomerate of promoters who really probably liked the idea of CNWA and really liked that there was a alliance working together, and that, you know, there could be a title that could be transferred from organization to organization. So when you break the news that CNWA is closing to Michelle Starr, how does he take it?
You know what, Michelle Starr is one of my closest friends, not just in wrestling, in life. And, you know, the last time that I talked to him face to face was my last appearance in Vancouver on May 31st. And, you know, we sat down one-on-one. And I said, listen, here's where I'm at personally and professionally, and this is where I think things need to go. And he was very supportive. And he said, you know what, I'm very disappointed to hear the news, but, you know, you need to do what's best for you and your family. And this is definitely it. So, you know, for me right now, in terms of what's next for me, I think I have one remaining printing bill that's still owed on the CNWA account for posters or banners or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And once that piece of business is done, I'm concluded in professional wrestling. My ring has already been offloaded to somebody. My boots were handed off to a young guy on my way out after my last match.
Wow.
You know, I will fade off quietly into the sunset from here.
And this is actually happening. You've had your last match, you say.
This is not a wrestling retirement, is what he says.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, and that's kind of been one of the most amusing things to me, is because people are so jaded by wrestling retirement. and as I've been so active for so long in so many different cities, you know, when I told people, yeah, this is the last match, nobody believed it. Not even my wife.
Yeah, I don't believe
my wife
it.
Said, well, you'll have another match somewhere down the line.
This is a wrestling retirement.
No, it's not.
I will go on the record right now.
I'm just joking.
This program, this is the end. And
crazy.
So, you know, currently I'm in a big downsizing mode, and have been in the process of offloading a big piece of my wrestling memorabilia collection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to wholesalers and diehard collectors all across the world. And it's leaving my house daily by the boxful.
You know what? I can't disagree with you. It's not a bad idea, right? It's up to you. It's your decision. Everyone, I think what makes this interesting is that you are one of the promoters, right? So mm-hmm. It's interesting to see a promoter step back this quickly. And
it's for health reasons.
Of course, many reasons, family reasons. Health
it's the
reasons.
End of an era. He doesn't want to work independent Canadian wrestling.
That's basically what's happening here, right? And that's why it's worth mentioning. And I want to move on to this, Vance, and that's, you are retiring. So I want to talk about your career and just how it's been up until now. I mean, you've had a very storied career, and you've wrestled from coast to coast, like we had mentioned earlier before the interview. So how do you sum up your career?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, as I've dealt with the frustrations of being a wrestling promoter a few weeks ago, I had a writer get in touch with me and said, I'd like to do a story on your career. And at that point, I was so frustrated with where things were with the CNWA, I respectfully declined, which might be the first time ever I've declined any press, because anyone will tell you I'm the biggest media whore in Canadian wrestling.
Well, he's on our show, so.
Get more press. You're done wrestling, so get more press.
No, it's all right.
It's you know, there are certainly being in professional wrestling has given me the opportunity to travel and see things and learn things that I probably would be oblivious to otherwise. You know, visiting communities, you know, in Canada, in northern Manitoba, and on Ontario, and all across, you know, the country, really, and that's been really good. And there's a lot about professional wrestling that has given me a lot of great memories, and it has given me a lot of experiences that I'll never forget. But I think the trade-off is, you know, while professional wrestling has been very good to me, and while in many ways it brought out the very best in me, it also brought out the very worst. And, you know, at the height of, you know, ambition, you know, I would never say that, you know, I screwed anybody over professionally, but I certainly, you know, in pursuit of wrestling and in pursuit of that rush and in pursuit of stardom and fame and glory, or however you may want to, you know, determine that. I've taken a lot of things for granted, you know, that should have been my priority. And you know, now, you know, as I take a look at, you know, my son who's 2 years old, you know, I really see that, you know, and I don't want to spend a birthday in some dog ass little town in Saskatchewan at a wrestling show. You know, I want to be there to celebrate those milestones with him. And I don't want to miss another wedding anniversary because I'm on a tour in Newfoundland someplace. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be home. And, you know, I've often said to people, you know, I feel like, you know, whether it was through wrestling or through writing or through promoting or, you know, through some of these interesting things that I've been, you know, given the opportunity to do through wrestling, you know, I've lived a full lifetime mm-hmm. in 40 years. And, you know, I'm 37 years old right now. There's still a lot of life left. So, you know, over the next few months, hopefully I get my neck fixed. You know, and I find out who I am when I'm not Vance Nevada. I get to find out who Vern May is again.
Fair enough.
And I really haven't been that guy since I was 17 years old. So it's going to be a very interesting journey for me.
All right.
You know, and to identify to people now, you know, that have known that I've pursued wrestling, that I am a retired professional wrestler, and that's something that I used to do, has already been a very interesting adjustment. And I think it's going to continue to be. And it's a challenge that I really embrace moving forward.
Fair enough, Vance.
A well-said summary, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
We are going to bring you back on our show one day down the road to talk about stories from the past. Whenever, you know, we're going to talk lots more local wrestling, and I want to spend a lot of time talking about your career. I think we should wrap it up at this point.
Now that I'm retired, I don't have to worry about burning bridges. We can really get into the dirt now.
And that's what we're looking
that's
forward to
what
the
we're
most.
Looking for, yes.
All right, so if it's all right with you, we're gonna hold it off right there. We're going to keep this conversation for down the road, and I want to make sure that happens. Is there anything left that you want to say to everyone before you go here? I mean, I'm assuming we're not going to see any Vance Nevada appearances of any kind at indie events, at least in the immediate near future. So, you know, this is your chance. Is there anything you wanted to say to everyone before we let you go?
You know, I do want to say thank you. Thank you to the people who, you know, have been true friends that I've made, whether they were wrestlers or involved with the wrestling business or fans or folks like yourselves in the media, you know, who have always extended a hand in friendship. So I definitely want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to the wrestling promoters who, you know, believed in me and gave me an opportunity to, you know, live this dream and be this guy, you know, for so long. And, you know, definitely, I think, you know, probably the most important thank you, you know, I want to thank my wife, because without her support, through all of this craziness and all of the travel and all the independent wrestling drama that sometimes follows you home, you know, she, you know, never swayed at all in her support of me and the support of what I needed to do, even if it meant that I needed to be on the road, you know, for 19 out of 30 weeks in a year.
Wow.
For the start wow. of a year, you know, whatever that looked like. And she's sacrificed probably as much or more than I have in order that I could go out and have this career that people want to talk about now. So I think those are probably the three most important thank yous that I'd like to extend.
All right.
Well, as long as we're doing thank yous here, thank you very much, fans, for coming on our show. Mm-hmm. And on behalf of fans and proponents of independent wrestling in Canada everywhere, just, you know, thank you for all the time and effort that yeah. you yourself have put into it in your own personal life to, you know, to make things better for everybody and try to make opportunities for everybody else. So, I mean, I don't think people realize how huge that is. So again, thank you to you, Vance.
I appreciate that very much.
One thing I've always noticed about Vance Nevada is that he works his ass off.
Oh.
I remember, Vance, you remember you and I sitting in the airport in Bellingham, and we were both on our way to the Cauliflower Alley Club, and, you know, you were showing me this magazine that you had, you were showing me stuff on your laptop, and it was all a culmination of your hard work and the CNWA as well. I mean, as great of an idea as it is, and it's, you know, to me, I'm one of these guys that I really wish someone would have taken it over, done it the right way, and continued to run with it, because it really is a great thing for Canadian wrestling. But regardless, I understand more. I completely understand why you may want to scale it back in life and go into another direction. Thanks a lot for everything, Vance. And something tells me, as I kind of had the weak joke about earlier, that we haven't seen the last of Vance Nevada. I find Vance to be one of those guys that he has a bit of a addiction with professional wrestling, and you can't walk away from it forever. But he's saying goodbye
for
now.
Can we see Mr. Beefy Goodness, the manager, maybe?
We'll leave it. We'll find out. Well, who knows? But Vance says he's walking away. Vance, thanks a lot for coming on our show tonight, my friend.
Thank you very much.
There you go, James. Vance Nevada. Interesting news coming down the pipe.
So I guess essentially the whole story behind the CNWA is what is pretty much what I thought it was, is money, right?
Money, I think money plus lack of support. And I think Vance Nevada just wants to take a step back. And let's be honest, the guy was probably putting in way too many hours.
Oh, guy put in just an amazing amount of hours. Mm-hmm. Like, holy crap.
I think the interesting dilemma here, though, is that the lack of people wanting to step up to the challenge. And I'm not saying that someone should, because it is a huge task. And, you know, the problems that Vance is probably facing himself would just be passed on to someone else. So it kind of is a shame that the CNWA is closing. It's kind of a shame that it can't continue.
It is.
It's understandable.
Well, the whole thing with the national TV deal falling through, like Vance said, I think that was really the straw that broke the camel's back, too. So,
yeah, and that
and unfortunately, like Vance was saying, when something like this happens, you see people crawl out of the woodwork, and you start seeing people's character for what it really is. You know, like people who just want to see what they can get out of it, like who you know, people wanting to buy the belts or wanting to buy his ring or something like that, instead of really, you're right, taking his idea, his vision of the CNWA and moving it forward. It's just, yeah, it's unfortunate.
What do you think about the idea of him retiring?
Well, I think...
We're finding out tonight that he's walking
away. I think it's a very good idea. I mean, if he's got problems with his vertebrae like he was describing there, then yeah, it's definitely a good idea for him to stop. I mean, you can either keep wrestling and be paralyzed or, you know, retire and continue walking. So I think in that aspect, it's a pretty simple decision. I mean, yes, it is sad to see Vance Nevada go. Like I said, it's the end of an era in Canadian independent professional wrestling. But
do you think this is the last we see of Vance, or do you think we'll see some
appearances? I don't think it's going to be the last we'll see of Vance. You know, guys that get wrestling in their blood, it's always there. You can never get it out. Maybe we'll see him again, like I said, in a managerial role, or you know, maybe we'll see, you know. Yeah, we'll see him as some sort of character for some promotion somewhere, I would imagine.
Fair enough.
It's hard to get rid of that wrestling bug once you've been bitten, you know?
Interesting interview tonight, I have to say.
It was.
That'll do it for this week.
An exciting SummerSlam pay-per-view coming down the pipe, I definitely have to say. We got Daniel Bryan taking on John Cena. Looks like we're going to have Punk and Lesnar. Damian Sandow, Cody Rhodes, Ziggler, Big E, Langston.
One thing I quickly wanted to touch on before we get out of here. And this one's for the ladies and any other weird guys that'll probably watch this show regularly. I wanted to quickly talk about Total Divas, and that's the reality show that is going to be premiering on the E! Network on July 28th. And that's involving the, I guess what, five divas they've announced?
Yeah, it's the Bella Twins and then the Funkadactyls and then Natalia, I believe, are the and five they have, main focuses.
And they have two others from NXT, I believe.
I think so. I don't know. I'm not 100% on all the details. So I'm not.
Are you watching?
Yeah, well, I'll definitely give it a watch.
I thought it was interesting that they announced that the first episode of this reality show would be about the WrestleMania 29 match. Remember,
that never happened. You're right.
Remember, it was supposed to be Brodus Clay and the Funkadactyls versus the Bella Twins and Cody Rhodes.
That's right. Yeah.
And Damian Sandow, of course. And then it got canceled at the last second. I stated on this show that the first episode of the reality show would be about that whole match at WrestleMania 29. And I have thought since day one that this was a work because they were doing it for the reality show.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Corey Callahan called something right.
I basically wanted to touch on
that whole intro was just basically to say that you were right about something, right?
Well, I thought you might have had an opinion on the show. Are you looking forward
to
it?
No, I am actually. I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with this reality show. Are they going to be playing characters? Are they going to be playing themselves? And it's going to be interesting, especially now that we got Daniel Bryan and John Cena moving forward into SummerSlam.
And Tyson Kidd, who recently got married to Natalya, he's going to be part of the show as well.
Well, it's always good to see more Tyson Kidd.
So it's a very interesting dilemma. I'm looking forward to it. July 28th, it debuts. I know my girlfriend is going to be watching the show, and that's really what this show's about.
Which means you'll be watching the show.
That's right. I guess.
There you go.
Hey, if I won't watch The Bachelor, I don't have to watch this. All right, that'll wrap it up. Smack Talk Radio Live for this week. Our website, www.smacktalkradiolive.com. You can like our page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. We're on Twitter, at SRL Radio. And look us up on Stitcher at stitcher.com.
And don't forget about that email address of ours, onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. Did you like Money in the Bank as much as we did? Are you as excited for SummerSlam as we are? Write us a message, onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. Hit that send button. There could be some cool swag coming your way.
Thanks a lot to Vance Nevada for coming on this week and clearing the air. He gave us the exclusive. You always got to like that. I'm Corey Callahan.
And I'm James McDonald.
And we got two tickets to Paradise. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening.